We've got several places to read and over there. But sometimes I might think that I read Scripture and enough Scripture for three or four sermons, but sometimes we have a thought on our mind. We think it would do us well to read as much of it as we can. We're going to read in the 8th chapter, St. John. I'll break it in at the 36th verse. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Now they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. And neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I told you the truth, you believe me not." Then if you would, you can turn on over into the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 16th verse, and it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And then if you would, you could turn over into the 4th chapter of Ephesians, and it says in the 5th and 6th verse, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." And then one more place we'll read, and that's in 1 John, the 7th verse of the 5th chapter. And it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." Then we're going to turn on back over to what we read in Ephesians, where it says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." You know, we were studying in Sunday school about a brotherhood, that mankind are brothers because we have a common Creator, and that's God the Father. But you know, just as Jesus Christ was speaking here to the Pharisees, they said that they too, that we have but one Father, that we have but one Father, I believe that they said, even God. And Jesus Christ began to tell them that they were of their Father, but that they were not of God, but they were of the devil. But then we read over in Ephesians, and it says that there is one God and Father of all. So what was this talking about? You know that there's a lot of people today that they'll take a verse of Scripture, and sometimes they'll take it out of context, but You know that there are many fathers in this world, but there is truly only one true God. There is only truly one, a true Creator, and that is the Father. But we read, as we did, that that He would take up His abode in me. And I can remember as a child going camping, that there was a many a time that as the campfire would die down and we would be laying in our sleeping bag, or a lot of times in the summertime on top of our sleeping bag, and look up at the sky and see all those stars through the trees. And I thought that in a child's mind, I've been told about the about God. I've been told about how Jesus loved me and died for me. And I just couldn't understand why a God that created all of this, how that He could care about me that was so insignificant. But the Bible tells me that not only did He care about me, but that He sent His only begotten Son so that I'd not have to perish in my sin, that I'd not have to go to that awful place called hell. Now let us think about that for a moment. Just how wretched we were. The Bible teaches that there is no good thing in mankind, that the heart of man is desperately wicked. But we've read already that He said that He would come and that He would dwell in us and that He would walk in us. That speaks about what Jesus can do for a soul. A place that God could not dwell. A place that sin had separated me from my sweet Heavenly Father. But before the foundations of the world, when all of this was being created, the Bible speaks about that there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And before the world was even created, God looked to the Son, and He looked to the Holy Ghost, and He knew where Daryl would need a Savior. He knew how wretched Daryl was, and that He was going to make a way, that He not only saved Daryl from that awful place called hell, but He'd make a way, that He could dwell in my heart, and that He could walk in me. Glory to God! There's been already a drunkard, that their family themselves didn't love, but Jesus made a way, that if we but repent of our sin and believe in Jesus Christ, He can take the old drunkard, clean him up, and make it a fit place for the God of the universe to dwell in His heart. Aren't you glad that me and you, those left to ourselves, I've thought about it a many a time. Oh, where would Daryl be without His Jesus? Where would Daryl be without the Creator of the universe caring for me? I can't help but be on the drive. Oh, when Daryl was so full of hatred that I've seen a man that I desperately hated, and I was just a teenager, and because of what He'd done to my family, I had every intention of killing him. And I went back to the house, and I went and got my gun, and went back down to Conowingadam, and I drove around, and I don't know, I reckon it was the prayers of my mama, the prayers of my granddaddy, and those that cared about me. But that one day, God spared me a life of heartache. Although my heart was filled with hatred, He made a way. Daryl didn't understand. But Daryl was of his father, of the devil, because Jesus told the Pharisees, as well as He told Daryl Hensley, that you're not or if you love my father, you'd love me. You know, I can't think about when I was a kid, granddaddy would stand and preach, and he'd say that hard times are coming, and I believe they are. Although my grandfather's dead, that which he preached is going to come to
house. Why? Because he preached God's holy word. And he said, there might come a day that they close the church doors and we'd not be able to worship there. He said, there might come a day, as it is in some countries, that where a Christian people would gather together. They'd come in the door and they'd kill people. Oh, we hear about it. The violence of over that's overseas. Just because you're a Christian, there's people that hate you and they will want to kill you. And I can remember, I sit where my mama sitting and I hear that. And old anger full up in me as a kid. And I told it myself. The devil might do that to my granddaddy. That I'll kill every one of them. I'll step on my cordwood out in front of the church. Oh, why? Because the Father in the universe has yet to come in Daryl's heart. And the people that were in Daryl's life, my friends, were those that were of the church. And I loved them. Yet I had not experienced the love of God when he saved me. I realized what the Bible said. When Jesus looked at the one and he said, pick up your cross and follow me. We must be willing to follow Jesus Christ, even if it means to bear our cross to Calvary. There's not a more wonderful thing to think about than somebody loving us enough to give his life for us. Well, that's what my Jesus did. But listen, there's been a many others because of the love of Jesus in their heart that they too laid down their life. No, it didn't have no redemption power in it, but they did it out of love. There's been a many of a preacher. You can read if you would Fox's Book of Martyrs, because a preacher would just simply stand and tell his little congregation the truth of God's word, that they'd burn him at the stake over some, what would some would think is the most minute of details. But why would a man be willing to burn an awful, torturous death because he was of his father, and his father was God? And it's enough, glory to God. If you go over in India, I reckon they've got like 200 gods, and not a one of them is less by God. They got 200, and I reckon they need 200 more. That maybe think or feel a little bit better. But I serve one God, and I'm here to tell you today, it's enough, glory to God. What was there shed at Calvary when Christ Jesus stretched out his arms and he died for you and me? And the old soldier, as he went, as it was the custom, when they were torn, only to give the prisoner, or those that were crucified rather, on the cross, they come and they broke their legs. Oh, when the old soldier come and look at Jesus Christ, well, no doubt, a little bit more, a lot more, bloodier than most, because he received the beating of the Jews. Listen, it weren't just the torment of the Roman soldiers, but the Bible tells me that the religious of that one time hit him and beat him in the face, smote him with a rod, and said, if you be the the Son of God. As they bowed his eyes, you tell me who struck you. You know I can't help but think about a mob, and almost in every mob there's a little alcohol being spread around. That makes the people feel a little bit braver. But you know what? As the old drunk, no doubt, that one that was so full of hatred and Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, who struck you? Oh, my Savior, the Bible said, I come to the slaughter, dumb as a lamb. I mean, and he answered not his accusers. He knew when that one struck him. He not only knew who done it, but he knew what he needed. He knew the hairs upon his head. He knew the abuse, no doubt, that he himself had maybe received in his life. That he was an empty man. And what he needed was the one that he snowed. What he needed was the peace that only God could provide. Have you received that peace? I'm thankful that I can say today that I have. I'm thankful that the Lord changes those that are wretched, those that are vile, that he makes them into a new creature. And I begin to think about that today, that what a wonderful thing that God can do. What a wonderful thing Jesus has done. Because if we would fully understand the destitute and the depravity of man, it would be a bigger blessing to us to understand. If we could understand the holiness of God and the destitute and the depravity of man, and that because Jesus Christ came, that he made a way that the holiness of God could live in the heart of a man that was so depraved and wretched. But yet when Jesus Christ came on the scene, and it says, he that would believe in the name of Jesus Christ, not just the name, as it were, wrote on a piece of paper, but who he was and what he did. I'm thankful. Our Father mentioned it this morning, that if you set your very little, if you set your mind to it, that you can accomplish. And I'll have to agree, for the most part, that I want to tell you, as I was a little kid, I wanted to be a Christian. But just as I told you, I was of the father of my father, the devil. And though I seen things in my Christian family's life that I yearned for, though I wanted to set my mind to it, and I thought, I want to be a good man like my granddaddy. And guess what? Daryl was like it. Daryl didn't have it in him. Oh, I was there. Because Daryl was of his father, the devil. But I can remember, at the age of 12, I'd already been expelled from school. I can remember going off to camp, and when you went camping, and my mind, you took a knife with you. Well, we went to school camp, and knives were prohibited. And I took the knife that I got for my birthday. I can close my eyes, and I can see it now. It was a skin and knife. It had a bone handle. It had a leather sheath. And there was a deer, the picture of a deer, burning that leather. But I thought I'd take it. But not to harm a soul. Just to show the boys there at camp, my pretty knife. But that ain't all I took. I took some matches. Matches you weren't supposed to take neither. And there was a friend. He was supposed to bring the firecrackers. Well, we went to camp, and the one feller weren't in my camp. It didn't work out that way. That we were in the same cabin. But they had a as he got there, another boy brought some matches as well. And they struck a match. And they began to set off the firecrackers and threw them out the window. And they come in. And they looked at Mark Bear, was his name. And they said, "Where'd you get them?" He said, "I brought them." How about this then? Darrell brought matches and he's got an eye. And I can remember being there. It was a 3-day camp. And I spent every day with a toothbrush there in the kitchen floor of that camp scrubbing between the tile. I reckon all the kids that ever went there must have been awful good, because the floor was filthy. If they had punished very many kids, the floor wouldn't have been near as dirty as it was. But there we were, all three of us, scrubbing the floor. And they took my knife and they put it in a drawer there in the kitchen. And he said, "The only way that you're going to get this is if your father comes up here and he gets it. But you know what? Seen that knife go in the drawer. I knew I'd never see it again. Because if I could keep from it, my father would never know about what I'd done. Because I know far it made him angry. It would break his heart for being disappointed in me. So we spent the three. We spent another 3 days there at camp. And I told myself, what did I ever want to go a camping for anyway? My daddy and mama were kind of protective. They wasn't long, and we was poor too. And I was thinking about that. They spent $35 so I could clean this old floor. And I was ashamed of myself. And the last thing I wanted my daddy to know was what a disappointment I'd be in. Well, let's see. It was next week. My teacher, she said, I got back from camp, and on that Monday, there was a notice because there was a boy on the bus that was there, and he stood in the hallway, and he put his hands on both the seats, and he said, "But you'll not get through." And I said, "Yes, I will." He said, "Try." So I hauled off and hit him in the pit of the stomach as hard as I could, and he doubled up, and I walked through him. He was 2 grades bigger than me, but I took it as a challenge. And I sat down and didn't think nothing of it. And then that weekend, I got trouble in camp. And then Monday, my sixth grade teacher took me out in the hallway. Mrs. Brooks was her name. She was in her 50s. Taught school all her life. And she stood there. And she put her hand on the wall. And she had the letter from the principal. Me punching a boy on the school bus. And she knew what I'd done at camp. And she looked at me and she said, Darryl, as tears began to run down her face, "What's going to become of you?" I didn't realize it. Because I just done what come natural. But it scared me to my bones. I weren't making some teacher cry like I'd done in the fifth grade, because it's her first year teaching. Her name was Mrs. Jones. And in fourth grade, it was Mrs. Parks. And I can remember them both putting their head on the desk and crying. And I'll have to admit, I was the only one making them cry. Although when Mrs. Brooks took me out there in the hall, an old veteran, they didn't want to call her that, and her son, I knew her son, he was 2 grades older than me, and he was a terror. And when she was crying over me, I knew that something, that I was way out of control. And what was I going to do? And she sent that letter explaining what happened to Cam and explaining what I've done on the school bus. And she stapled it until I feel it. I can't remember. Oh, what a class it was. But I got an F on the paper. And there at that school, if you got a failing grade on a test, you always had to take it home. And your parents, they had to sign it. Oh, why? Because some of the parents would know that you weren't studying. And she stapled that to the top of a failing paper. And there I looked at it. And I looked at it like a lot of people look at their lives. And I began to think of what a failure I was. And if my father and if my mother knew what I've done, they'd probably even love me a little less. And once again, instead of going, instead of coming to them and saying, Daddy and Mama, I'm a failure, I'm sorry, I once again try to fix it all. And I begin to remove the paper. And said I punched the boy in the stomach. And I begin to remove the piece of paper that said I took a hunting knife. Oh, we know I make a 7-inch blade out of camp. And I handed my mama the paper with my failing grade. And she said, Daryl, oh, you should have studied a little harder. And she signed it. And I can remember feeling relieved, but yet feeling ate up with guilt. And I took that paper and I stapled those notices on the front of it again. But I would wonder when I took it to the teacher whether she would be suspicious that my mother had signed the failing grade instead of the papers on the top. And I handed it to Mrs. Brooks, and she looked at it, and she said nothing to me. And she placed it on the corner of her desk, and I thought, boy, I've got her done. My mother won't know what a failure I am. But listen, it ate at me like a canker. It went on and it went on. That was toward the end of school. And then, really, Shell can remember it. It was like 2 months later. I believe it was. But no, I'm getting my times mixed up. Yes, it was 2 months later. It was summer. It might have been even closer to that. And my mother, she said, when I go out, they begin to ask where my knife is. And I said, I don't know. I might have lost it out in the woods. And she said, Daryl, if you'd have lost it out in the woods, you'd have known it. But she says, you misplaced it. And I said, well, I don't know where to look. And she said, let's go and look. And we looked all over that house. I can remember being with my mom. And I look under the bed. And she look under the toy box. And I just wish so bad I could tell her. I could tell her what I'd done. But I was afraid. The world's going to hell. And there's so many this close to salvation, and they were so bad I could tell their father. But they think, oh, he'll be disappointed. He already knows. That's why he's made the way. That's why he said, his son, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came? That the father knew we were failures, and he sent his son to make a way that I could look at my father in the face, now my earthly father, and say, Daddy, I'm a failure. Oh my God, forgive me. And when I was 9 years old, I was better laying in my for a creature that had caused such sin in this world, that the Father had to send His only Son. And I knew that the ingenuity, the genius, the creativity of an almighty God, how awful of a place that would be. But I want to tell you, aren't you glad that He made a place of a narrow, like a raven hill? For you. I'm so glad I serve a living Savior, aren't you? A Heavenly Father that lives in. Look what He's done in 6 days. Jesus Christ said, I go away to prepare a place. I will live for you. If those are correct, He's been gone now for literally 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years, and He's gone away to prepare a place that He can create this world and this universe in 6 days. What do you imagine He could do with 2,000 years? How He created it so that therefore I would be able to reign with Him, and that you too I can escape from this world, not only from hell, but listen, I'll escape from this world. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if there wasn't a place called hell, and there is, but if there wasn't, I'd still serve Him for saving me from myself. I reckon I'd be in prison for killing folks, for just selling drugs, doing drugs, or whatever it might be. Yourself still yet today. There's people who go to church because they don't want to die and go to hell. And I reckon that's what caused Daryl to bend his knees beside his bed when he's 12 years old. But I'm still serving today because of what He's done, not only there, by Calvary, but what He's done since, because of what He has done for me when I was in need and there was no other one to help. No other one to help. My mama. And my mama, she taught us to pray since we was little kids. And she'd say, Daryl, are you scared or anything? You just say a prayer. But you know, as I got older, I just got to where there was so much sin in my life. I can remember being scared there on that kitchen floor, scrubbing that floor, and it come to my mind, Daryl, all you need to do is pray. And I thought, no, Daryl, you can't pray because of sin in your life. Well, I want to tell you today, that's what the devil's telling you as well. But I want to tell you, if you want to tell him about your present problems, all you got to do is grave and first have you started in conversation with those that you're strange to, is to say, well, I sure am glad I'm able to talk to you. I sure am glad, sweet Heavenly Father, that you made a way. Isn't it a wonderful privilege? Our God could have created us and placed us down here on this earth and left us all alone. Oh, but he didn't do that. But he placed us down here and he said, look at my creation. Oh, look at what I've created. They need a Savior and he made a way. There's so many people when they read the Bible, they try to find some secret hidden meaning. Listen, if God would want me to confuse us, he'd have left us to our own devices. But he sent his word that he might bring light into the world. Aren't you glad that he has done just that and brought light? Let's get some song to sing. Are you estranged to the Father? I love my daddy so much. I can remember when I'd went and I'd done some things. It's a whole nother story. And my father found out. I didn't know how he figured it out. I thought I had it all hid. And I can remember going in there in the bedroom. And he said, he first asked me, had I done this and this and this? And I just looked and I thought, how on earth did he find this out? And I knew that I'd been called and there weren't no lying my way out of it. And I said, yes. He said, I want you to come back in the bedroom. And it's a bedroom that when we were disobedient, sometimes we'd have to lay on the bed. And he'd give us a whipping with the bell. And he'd sit there on the corner. I didn't want to go back there. But I thought, well, Daryl, a whipping's what you need. Because I've been disobedient. And the things I saw had stole some of my innocence away. And I just wanted it back. And I thought, boy, I hope he switches me good. Because I deserve every lash. I wish I was hoping he'd give me the worst weapon I ever had. And I can remember he sat on the corner of his bed and he began to talk to me. And he said, Daryl, I'm so disappointed in you. And I said, aren't you going to let me? He said, no. And it just broke my heart. I said, Daddy, how'd you know? He said, my Heavenly Father told me. And that's right, when I knew, I didn't have nothing yet. I got nothing yet today. There ain't no point in acting like it ain't happening. It ain't going all these things at all. Don't you want to have unity with the Heavenly Father? The only way you can is bow your knee and say, Father, you know what I've done. You know of all the wrongs I've committed. Lord, you know that my sin has sentenced your son to Calvary. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had placed your son on that cross. Never give me of my sin, Lord. And I don't want the shed of that blood to be in vain for my sake. And accept that. Oh, wonderful. The Bible says, when the soldier came up to him after he broke the thief's legs, can you imagine the awful sound of it? When they would break the thigh, I've heard animals' bones break before. I can only imagine the sound of it as the soldier looked in the face of my Savior and seen that he were already dead. The Bible said he took a spear and he stuck it in his side. He didn't flinch or nothing, Jane. He was already dead. The Bible said when he pulled it out, that he said every last drop or with all that come out of there was the water. Oh, why? Every last blood a drop of blood was shed at Calvary so that me and you could escape that awful place called hell, so that me and you might be set free from ourselves, so that me and you could one day walk on the streets of glory and look in the face of my Jesus that delivered me from all of my peril.
Let's get some song to sing. Are you glad that you've met the Savior? Are you as I was with my earthly father? For the cause of the transgressions in your life, you just didn't feel the freedom of being able to come to Him. Well, I'm here to tell you that He's waiting. He's waiting. You know, I was somewhat offended. I went to a gas station the other week, and I wrote a $55 check for diesel fuel. And they said that. They said, "Well, I'm sorry, do you have a check card?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't." She said, "Well, you can't write a check." I had no money in my pocket. She said, "You can't write a check." I said, "I can give you my license number." I didn't understand why. It wasn't an out-of-town check. And I walked away from there, and I said, "Well, that's going to have to do for today. I'll just not be back." And I walked away, and I thought, who are they? I've got $6,500 in my bank account. You say, "Daryl, well, why you got so much in it?" Well, I've got like a $6,400 bill coming due, and that'll leave you about $100. But anyhow, I thought the nerve of her not to accept a $55 check. When I've got so much in the bank, well, I want to tell you, I wonder how the Lord feels when we come to Him. And as that woman questioned me, we question God and say, "God, is this going to be enough? Don't you know He's got more than enough in the bank? He's provided us with more than we'll ever need. It's just in His storehouse. And all we have to do is say, 'Lord, give me what I want.' No. Say, 'Lord, make me into the creature that You would have me to be, so that what You would give me would be enough, for it truly is enough.' Aren't you glad that we have one Father and it's enough? Oh, I'm so glad that I have one, a Savior, and His name is Jesus. But it's enough. I'm glad that I have the Bible. You know, there's many spirits in this world, but there's only one Holy Spirit, and it's enough. I want for nothing. The Lord has blessed me wonderfully. And if I died a poor man sitting in a prison somewhere because the world would choose to persecute the church, I'll have to tell them, as I tell you today, what the Lord has provided me is enough. And it'll be enough for you too if you just come to His storehouse and say, "Lord, give me of Thy will. Lord, give me what You'd have me to have." And you know, there's nothing wrong with sometimes wanting something as long as we don't lust after it. You know, I had a saying when I was single, but I heard a new one today. I think it was D.L. Moody at the age of 83 before his death. A man asked him, "Are you ever sad that you never got married?" And he looked with a twinkle in his eye and he said, "I would rather want something that I didn't have as to have something that I didn't want." My wife looked at me and she said, "That's what you say, ain't it?" And I said, "No, I said I'd rather be lonely than wishing I was." I think he said it more eloquently. Yeah, see, I can't even speak eloquently. I can't even say the word. But you know, he was a man that was content And yes, I'm sure that he wanted for things. And just as Paul, he seeked the Lord to remove the thorn from his flesh. And this was something I bet he wanted. I bet he didn't allow that to affect his happiness, and the Lord did. Now, he was content in all things and what he found himself in. And that's my desire. And you know, there is some contentment, isn't there? Of when we know that sometimes when we think that we lack for something, that we have it. You know that there are literally, and I wouldn't suggest doing this, but you know there has been millionaires. I grew up on a farm a large part of my life, and to look at the man there when he died, I think he was 96 years old, or maybe he was 98. But Ole Gordon Reedy was his name, and he wore suits because, you know, he was of another generation. And he wore suits a lot, just anywhere. And they were thread-worn and threadbare. Had an old car. And the man, I was told that when he died, had like $1 million in the bank. But do you realize that he was willing to go without? Because he had it. Wasn't willing, now listen to me, wasn't willing to spend it on what he needed because he found enough contentment in that he had it if he really did need it. And because of his mentality, because he was, some would say, greedy or a spinster, I'm not going to say that, because his mentality had been of saving for so long, that he was content in not having it, but yet being able to purchase it. A man that would have been in that, if he had been in that same situation, and what I mean with looking the same way, and not had money in the bank, he would have been a man most miserable, would he not? One would have looked at him and said, look, there's a poor man. And if they had not known him, they'd have still said that. But he had enough contentment in his heart, knowing that what he needed was in the bank. Well, that man died, and he found out if what was in the bank was sufficient for the debt that he truly owed. Well, I'm here to tell you, though, that what we need spiritually, as well as physically and financially, that if we understand that God has it all, that in most every instance, it's enough to know that when we do without, and that when we want for things, it's enough to know that the Lord has it. But yet, because it be not His will, because that maybe there is some lesson to learn from this, or that Darrell don't need it, and that when the day truly comes that he does, that the Lord will provide it. I don't know about you, but that brings me contentment many a time. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father and it's enough? I love each and every one of you. I'll turn it back over to my Father.
Anyone got anything on your heart before we close?
I'd like to be anointed and the church pray for me, that if it be the Lord's will, can you heal me?
Before we do that, and it slips my mind, next Sunday, following this second service, will be one up Grand Isle to have a baptism. Chip wants to be baptized, and we'll be doing it next Sunday. You know, just a week ago, on Sunday, we were here praying for him. He was in prison in more ways than one.
But today he's free in more ways than one. That's all. What a difference God can make. And unless each and every one really pray for him and his wife this week. You know, every time you take a step for the Lord, you can depend upon the devil's going to be there trying to keep you from taking it. So let's pray that the Lord just bless him real good this week. And as we come around, pray for Chrissy. You know, Wednesday night I found out prayer that I've been praying every day for her about her lungs that God had took care of. And I'm still believing in a miracle. It's going to take a miracle.
for what she needs. I mean, you know, it's not something that is easy. It's not something that anybody can take care of. And, you know, the thing I like about it, God can do it and leave no scars. And each one of us, when we pray, you know, my prayer from the very first time that we've been praying for Chrissy, my prayer has been that God would work a miracle to reach her people, to reach anybody looking on that they could see that God's not changed. You know, when God touched me, there was a woman and her husband that come all the way from Pennsylvania out here just to see if it was true. I hadn't seen her since she was a kid. But they come. They haven't come back. But they come to see if it could be true that God could really do that. I don't know what will ever become of their life. But when they stand before God, they'll have to know, I know God did that, and He could have done it for me. And you and I today, let's pray that God would just work such a miracle that no matter what the devil does, he can't hinder, he can't hide it, he can't keep people from knowing about Him. Come on, Chrissy. Dear God, we come to you again, this only Lord. Well, God, Lord, you know it. Father, we thank you again that you touched her, Lord. God, that you healed her, Lord. Well, God, we pray, Lord Jesus, right now, God, that you touch her back, Lord. God, that you would remove that tumor, Lord, from her back, God. Father, in obedience unto thy word, Lord. God, we anoint her with the oil, Lord. God, God!